They've become increasingly commonplace in Michigan cities. Here in Lansing, Jackson, and elsewhere, once endangered peregrine falcons nest and breed high in city buildings. In downtown Jackson, the birds nest in a space up in the Tower Building. The Jackson County website offers an opportunity for people to view these birds on its 3-megapixel digital camera. Steve Shotwell knows all about these birds for two reasons. Steve is chairman of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners. He also owns and operates a business in downtown Jackson, just across the street from the Tower Building, and he joins me now. Mr. Shotwell, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
How long have peregrines been nesting in the Tower Building?
We can confirm nesting since 2008.
And how many young falcons have been born there? Is that known?
Yes, it is. We've had 21 fledged, and then this year's birth, and at the moment we have 3 chicks up there right now, and the babies themselves, so this will be 24.
How many young per year typically hatch and survive?
Well, in Jackson, we typically have between 3 and 5. We've had up to 5 hatch, but we've always fledged, it seems, between 3 and 4, which is a little better than the national average.
And how does it work in the nesting area itself here? Do the young go off and find their own homes, or does the I understand the DNR gets involved with the chicks. Why don't we start there? What do they do?
Well, the DNR will come in here sometime between the 1st of June and Father's Day weekend, and they will band the birds. They will check their eyes. They will get blood samples and DNA information on the birds so they can keep track of them. And then they band the birds, and that information is then sent to Cornell University as well as kept here with our Michigan DNR to track the birds.
But where do those young birds go? Do they fly off and make their own nests or what?
Typically, the peregrine falcon will migrate to in the south, somewhere along the Gulf Coast, typically spend its first 1 or 2 years down there, and then come back to the Midwest and nest. Our pair, Chaitin and Big Red, one is from Ohio and one's from Minnesota. So they paired up, obviously, down south and came up and explored the different nesting areas.
Hmm.
And Big Red came from a large family herself. She was in a clutch of 6 babies, and her mother would typically have between 5 and 7 eggs, and she's had typically between 4 and 6 eggs.
Here in Lansing, we've got peregrines nesting on a smokestack at the local utility here, the Lansing Board of Water and Light, and also in the Bogie Tower, a 23-story building downtown. Tell us, where exactly do the birds nest in the Tower Building?
They nest on what would be the southeastern corner of the Tower Building, and we have 4 large parapets that surround the top of it, which put a wall or a border. So our chicks are not at risk of blowing out or being knocked out by storms. A lot of times what happens is when they're nesting in the boxes and in those areas, it can be difficult for the chicks to fledge all the way because they don't have a big enough area to stretch their wings and that type of activity, which is needed for the birds.
Steve Shotwell is chairman of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners. He also owns and operates a business in downtown Lansing, not far from the Tower Building, where since about 2008 or so, peregrine falcons have nested and bred. Describe a peregrine for us, Steve. What is most notable about these birds?
Well, these are a large bird. They're the second largest predatory bird. And they're what we call a pinnacle predator, which means that they're at the top of the food chain. And typically a peregrine will be around 12 to 14 inches tall. And the female is larger than the male. And the nesting area is selected typically from where they nested as a child. Some of the information and studies on the peregrines have shown that if you nested on a building, your first choice is to nest on a building yourself if you were born on a building. So it's a very interesting program.
Mm. I think some number of people know that peregrines can dive at a very high rate of speed. Tell us about that.
Well, they are the fastest North American animal. They will dive at almost, they've been clocked at diving at over 180 miles an hour. And this has been shown, you can see this quite often. You know, you'll be walking around downtown, and all of a sudden feathers will start fluttering down, and you'll realize that a collision had occurred somewhere above you. And so it makes for interesting afternoons in downtown. There's a lot of nice cafes you can sit at and watch the birds fly in and out. And so, yeah, it makes for a good experience.
And I know you can do the same thing in downtown Lansing here,
yes.
Certainly at the Bogie Building, for one. We've got a clip of a peregrine, and then actually what you'll hear is a single peregrine falcon and then a pair of peregrines. Let's have a listen. See, one final question here. Is the intention here for the peregrines to live in the tower building indefinitely?
Yeah, it's a two-stage program. Also, we've tied it in with our strategic plan of education, and we've made the live feed available in the classrooms in Jackson County. And I've had the opportunity this past 2 weeks ago to give a presentation to the science class at East Jackson High School, where the kids were able to actually see the live footage and witness Big Red feeding the children. So that was part of our whole idea, was to share the experience with the youth of Jackson County and get a better picture of what nature is all about.
You can get a great angle on these birds on the Jackson County website, a 3-megapixel digital camera. I recommend it for our listeners who are interested in birds. We've been talking about downtown Jackson's nesting peregrine falcons with Steve Shotwell, a downtown Jackson business owner and chairman of the Jackson County Board of Commissioners. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
And to learn more about the bigger picture involving peregrine falcons here in Michigan, let's turn to Karen Cleveland. Karen is a bird biologist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Good morning.
How many Michigan cities have peregrines nesting in them today? Do you know?
Well, it's kind of interesting because we have some cities that have multiple nest sites in them, but statewide we had 33 active nests last year, and only about a half dozen of those were on natural sites. The rest were all on man-made locations, and that ranged all the way from Houghton up in the UP down to Monroe down in the southern Lower Peninsula.
Now, I know DNR placed some peregrines in city skyscrapers beginning in the mid-80s. As these birds die off, does DNR have to restock these spaces, or do other birds just move in and take them over?
We actually did the last releases of peregrine falcons on sites back in 1992. So all the birds that you're seeing out on the landscape right now, those are, for the most part, wild hatched birds. In Canada, they are still doing some of these bird releases going on in some locations as they're trying to get birds back. But the rest of these birds are all hatched in the wild from somewhere in the Midwest, could be Ontario even.
What cities will a peregrine falcon nest?
Well, their natural habitat is actually to be nesting on cliff ledges. And so in certain parts of the country, you still see a lot of that kind of activity going on. In Michigan, historically, most of that activity was going on in the UP, a lot of it along the lake shores. And we do actually have some of that that's happening again in Michigan now, which is kind of exciting.
I know peregrines all but disappeared 40 or 50 years ago due to DDT and PCBs. How firmly reestablished is the peregrine falcon in Michigan today?
Well, to kind of put it in perspective, what we think we had for numbers in pre-settlement times was probably in the neighborhood of about 10 to 15 pairs. And again, these are the natural cliff sites, which we don't have a lot of. Right now, we had 33 nesting pairs last year in Michigan. Again, the bulk of them are on these man-made sites that weren't available before we came and settled the state and built these wonderful man-made cliffs for them. But we're doing really well, and a lot of the building managers that have peregrines really love that the birds are there and are really taking care of a lot of pigeon problems for them.
So, well, you anticipated my next question. I was going to ask you what they feed on. They feed on pigeons?
Well, they basically feed on lots of birds. One of their nicknames is duck hawk because they're actually known for taking waterfowl on the wing. Basically, anything that's a mallard or a merganser size or smaller, they will actually try to take from the air. And what's kind of exciting is you would think that they would dive and then grab with their talons. And they've done some slow motion photography and discovered that when they come out of the dive, they actually fist their feet and they slam into those birds with those two fists at 200 plus miles an hour, and it stuns the bird out of the sky, at which point they can go and collect it, which is kind of cool to see.
Wow. And now we've heard from Steve Shotwell, DNR is banning a lot of these birds in just the coming weeks, which sounds death-defying enough. How do your folks access these birds?
Well, some of the sites we can't actually access. There's not a safe way to do it. But we've got staff actually this morning that are going to be at the Eckert Power Plant here in Lansing. So if folks are watching the webcam for Eckert, you can actually watch when our staff go out to collect them. They'll be having safety harnesses on as they go out to take those chicks out of the nest box. They'll be in Jackson tomorrow wearing lots of hard hats. The female in Jackson is very defensive about her young. She's drawn blood, and we used a towel one year to try to scare her off by flapping the towel, and she stole the towel from our band. So she's a pretty aggressive mother, and we like to see that.
And remind us what is learned exactly from banding these birds.
Well, we put two bands on each of these chicks, and this is part of a Midwest program that's been going on since the 80s that the states and the provinces in the Midwest have been working together to try to reestablish the species. And one of the bands is what we call a federal band. It comes from the federal government. They're all sequentially numbered. They're really hard to read because they have tiny little numbers on them, but that is something that's recorded by the Fish and Wildlife Service that we can look up from wherever the bird gets recovered. The other one is a color band, which is actually got much larger numbers that are much easier to read from a distance. And so we try to keep an eye to find out where our breeding birds coming from. And this has let us understand a little bit more about the populations of birds in the area. So when we see that we've got a bird that's got a color band that tells us it hatched in Ohio or Minnesota or Hamilton, Ontario, we used to have a Hamilton, Ontario bird in Lansing, it lets us know for these birds, going someplace in the neighborhood may not be 5 miles down the road. It may be 500 miles down the road, and they think of that as the local neighborhood. And so it's really helped us understand what the breeding population really looks like for us.
How interesting. We've been talking about Michigan's peregrine falcons. We want to thank Karen Cleveland, a bird biologist for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Be safe out there, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.